They thought it ended with Garvey, but they were wrong. The UNIA didn't die. It multiplied. In Ghana, it became a flag. In Jamaica, it became a legacy. In Panama, it sparked rebellion. From slums to parliaments, people carried the message. Africa for the Africans, at home and abroad. They tried to erase it, deport it, destroy it. But the UNIA was never just a man or a ship. It was an idea, a nation without borders. And that idea, still marching, still teaching, still alive. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite platform so you never miss a story. UNIA's global echo, legacy across continents. You can deport a man, you can ban a newspaper, but you can't stop an idea whose roots are buried across the world. The headlines faded, the ships were gone, the halls quieted. To the outside world, the UNIA looked like it had vanished, swallowed by trials, sabotage, and time. But they misunderstood what the UNIA really was. It was never just a man, never just a building, never just a headline. It was a seed, planted on five continents. And even as empires tried to bury it, it grew. This chapter traces the global echo of the UNIA, the aftershock that outlived Garvey's imprisonment, his deportation, and his death. Because what the world thought was over was only replanting itself. Africa, dream to blueprint. In Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah openly cited Garvey and the UNIA as inspirations for the Pan-African independence movement. The red, black, and green became Ghana's flag colors. The Black Star became the name of the national shipping line, the Black Star Line reborn under African control. Liberia, which Garvey had long dreamed of as a return destination, later hosted UNIA chapters that advocated for land reform, anti-colonial education, and black nationalism. Even in Nigeria, early activists in the anti-colonial struggle used the Negro world and UNIA philosophies to push for independence from British rule. What began as a movement of letters and parades became a blueprint for governance. Caribbean, the heartbeat of the diaspora. In the Caribbean, the UNIA never died. In Jamaica, Liberty Halls became cultural institutions. In Trinidad, Black Cross nurses continued community work. And across Barbados, Belize, St. Lucia, and more, UNIA divisions outlived Garvey himself. These weren't relics, they were resistance centers, passing on identity and pride generation to generation. When the civil rights movements of the 1960s rose up, the Caribbean already had a foundation, laid by the women and men of the UNIA decades earlier. The Caribbean had not forgotten, because it had led. Latin America and Central America, hidden hubs of rebellion. Few know the UNIA's reach stretched deep into Honduras, Costa Rica, Panama, and Colombia, where Afro-descendant populations, largely forgotten by their governments, turned to the UNIA for structure and identity. In Panama, dockworkers and canal laborers read the Negro World in secret, organized labor strikes with UNIA support, and flew red, black, and green flags in defiance of American imperialism. The movement gave dignity to people who were told they didn't belong to any nation. The UNIA told them, "You belong to all of us. North America, more than Harlem." While Harlem was the UNIA's epicenter, its influence was national. In Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, Los Angeles, and across Canada, UNIA chapters established schools, cooperatives, and youth brigades. Even after the federal crackdown, these spaces became safe havens for black pride and self-governance. The Nation of Islam, the Black Panthers, and even civil rights organizations borrowed strategies, symbolism, and structure from the UNIA. They watched the empire burn it down, and still they said, "We saw what it could be. Now let's build again." Europe and beyond, the invisible echo. Even in London, Paris, and Amsterdam, the UNIA planted seeds. African students studying abroad read Garvey's works and returned home as revolutionaries. Caribbean migrants in Europe brought the flame with them, hosting lectures, starting community halls, and translating UNIA texts into local languages. The movement transcended borders. It was a passport to identity. What they couldn't kill. The most powerful part of the UNIA was that it made you believe you were more than a survivor. It made you believe you were a citizen of a global black nation. An heir of African greatness, a builder of tomorrow, not just a victim of yesterday. That belief is unextinguishable. It shows up in flags, in speeches, in school murals, in street names, in minds that say, even now, Africa for the Africans, at home and abroad. Final reflection. Garvey was deported. The ships rusted. The press was banned. But the Echo outlasted it all. Because the UNIA didn't just organize people. It recoded them. And today, every movement for Black liberation, from Soweto to Ferguson, from Kingston to Kinshasa, walks in its wake. The world thought it was just a movement. It didn't realize it was a seed. And the harvest is still coming.